Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, the podcast where we cover all the pop culture we love to hate, from the classic reality TV moments of the past and present to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. I'm looking at you, Jax Taylor. I'm your host, Ryan Bailey.
So slowly, time goes by. Welcome to an all-new episode of So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. This is your buddy Ryan. This is your Wednesday episode. What do we say on Wednesdays? We made it. This is the hump. Once you're down, phone it in for the rest of the week, folks. We got it easy for the rest of the week. Not me. I'm working hard. I got to watch Real Housewives of Salt Lake City tonight, part two of the reunion. Can we handle it? I thought last week was so bad. Can part two get any worse? I think it can. And let's keep an eye out. Will Jen Shah do something ridiculous before it airs? Last week, she teased us with a website where we were supposed to put in our email address to find the real story of Jen Shah. DearJenShah.com. Are we living? This can't be real life. We're not living. This is got to be a simulation of some sort. I think this is like the show Lost, where we find out eventually that we died a long time ago. And these are just weird misfirings of our brain. Speaking of weird misfirings of our brain, welcome to the show. We've got a great show for you today. This first part, remember, we do a lot of different things on this show. If you're new to it, I get how that kind of could be weird. You just listen to some music. By the way, shout out to Death Cab for Cutie. I think one of the first times I've played them on the show mixed with Madonna. I mean, you can't get better than that. So there's timestamps. If you don't want to hear a bunch of great pop culture stories and me talking about the pod and my personal life, totally get it. You can use the timestamp and you can skip right to our guest today. We have from the new TLC show, MILF Manor. You heard me correct. MILF Manor. We have one of the MILFs. I just think she's actually just a really fun, cool lady. Her name is Kelly. She is going to be here later in the show, and I'll explain the show in a bit. Even though I think the show is kind of self-explanatory, it's called MILF Manor. It's a bunch of really attractive older ladies. I even feel weird saying older. Just a bunch of really attractive ladies at this manor that they've dubbed MILF Manor in Mexico. And the weird part of the show, or I guess the hook, is that their sons are also there, and their sons are, it's one big old fever dream, you guys. The sons are dating the mom, not, let me correct that. It's not the sons of the mom, the sons aren't dating their actual moms, the sons are dating the other MILFs on, at MILF Manor. And it's actually highly watchable. You kind of think like, oh, that's like a one note joke. Weirdly, I'm on episode 3. We've got like 9 episodes in total, really bingeable. And you're kind of shocked. But then once you get past the shock, and even talking to Kelly today, I was like, man, it's always good to, you know, like you can see the real person in there. You're like, oh, okay. Yeah, I got, you know, it's really interesting to talk to these people. And she's actually from Orange County. And I was like, we got to get her on Real Housewives of Orange County. This would be perfect. Oh, and by the way, I want to talk a little bit about this. I just watched the new Pamela Anderson documentary that just came out on Netflix. And I got to tell you, I loved it. I really, really loved it. It's called Pamela, A Love Story. On the poster art, it says, she defined a decade, now she will define herself. And I want to talk about that in a second. But I was watching this documentary, and I was like, Pamela Anderson would be amazing on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Now, I think she kind of resides in Canada right now, but who cares? I mean, listen, I think Dorit and Kyle live in Encino. They don't even live in Beverly Hills. We can have somebody live in Canada and be on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I think Pamela Anderson would make one of the coolest housewives. Like, she would be potentially the voice of reason, which sounds shocking, but watch the documentary. I want to talk about that in a second. Let's do some show notes right up top, though. Some things that I need from you guys. I'm going to need your social security numbers and the last 4 digits of your credit card. I also need your mom's maiden name and any other information. No, don't worry. I'm not Jen Shah. What I do need, if you do like this show, consider leaving it a positive review, a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. I say this for any podcast you enjoy. Go do that. We've had some great shows already this week. We had Monday with Sophie. We had Tuesday. I had the Zen Blonde back on, and we had a really interesting discussion that I hope you liked. Go subscribe to the YouTube channel if you want to see this. You know, it's so funny. I'm finding a lot of people going over and watching it there. And I just want to remind the people that are watching on YouTube or the people listening, the whole thing isn't over there, you know, so you get like the interviews or you like tomorrow. I think this part will actually be up because I told Meditza, but sometimes it'll just be the interview. So that's that. Also, this is huge. I want you guys next Thursday. We're doing the Vanderpump Rules season 10 premiere party. So Bad It's Good style. We got Ariana and Tom Sandoval stopping by. We got the Talk of Shame. We got some surprises. So that's going to be next Thursday. You can get tickets at moment.co/SBIG. moment.co/SBIG, which stands for So Bad It's Good. And you can get tickets for $10. If you're a Patreon member, you can get tickets for $5. And that is a really low price for, I don't know what I'm going to need to do. Maybe I'll get nude. Who knows? Maybe I won't get nude. Let's take a vote on. Well, I just want you guys there. Please come. And also, if you can't watch it live, that's totally understandable. But you have 2 weeks to watch it once you purchase a ticket. You can watch it as many times as you want. Like, you really could. I mean, don't pass it around like that Pam and Tommy videotape, the sex tape that I just watched all about that. Whew, I want to talk about that in a sec. So that's another thing that I need from you guys. And also, if you are a Patreon member, just want to let you know, I did an hour and a half episode on Sunday night that got released, where it's just a Q&A. A lot of Patreon members ask me questions. It's highly personal, a lot of housewife stuff, a lot of me stuff. But if that's your thing, go on over, sign up for the Patreon. And remember, we're doing Summer House exclusively on the Patreon. So I'll bring up like certain jokes and stuff like that on the main pod. But if you want to hear me recap the show, and why wouldn't you? I do a great Kyle. So go over and sign up for that. You can just do it at patreon.com/SoBadIt'sGood. And it's all appreciated. We're chugging along, you guys. And remember, follow me on Instagram and all that stuff. So if anything does happen to the show, if there's any updates, you can find out there, because you never know. Who knows? Maybe something crazy will happen, and maybe something huge. Maybe this will all win all the podcasting awards next week, and I will let you know right there on that Instagram. Okay. Whew. You guys know I get dizzy when I promote myself. It just, deuce chills. Let's do some pop culture roundup. Let's do the Bailey Mail, you guys. Okay, let's just start off with the Pamela Anderson documentary. Now, it was last year, probably about a year ago, right, that the Hulu show Pam and Tommy, starring Seth Rogen, Nick Offerman, Lily James, like that came out last year. And it was a comedic look at how that Pam and Tommy sex tape got stolen from their house and distributed. And, Seth Rogen played the down on his luck guy. And, you know, you kind of felt sympathetic towards Seth Rogen's character, right? You know, because he was a loser and this was like his one big moment in life to do something. And it was filled with great performances, especially, I thought, Lily James. Lily James, I thought, was amazing. In retrospect, after watching the Pamela Anderson documentary, I gotta say, Sebastian Stan, who played Tommy Lee, I gotta say, thinking about the Pam and Tommy series on Hulu, I think it was more of a caricature than it was actually what it's, you know, what you even saw in this documentary of Tommy Lee. But this documentary on Pamela Anderson, I didn't really even think I was going to like it that much. Like, I like Pamela Anderson. I think she represents something huge in pop culture. But after watching that, I thought it was so well done. And I thought it told her story from being discovered in Canada. This is somebody that didn't look to get into TV or film or modeling or anything like that. She was discovered in Canada at a hockey game because somebody filmed her in the stands and she went up on the Jumbotron and just things kind of exploded from there. She came out to Hollywood, and as a lot of people do, this town is just wild. It goes through the string of boyfriends she had, goes through Baywatch. Although I forgot how many moments she was a part of. Like, you know, when you love pop culture, it's just one of those figures that's always been around. It also told the story of Pam and Tommy Lee and what a love story it was, how they truly were insanely in love with each other. It goes through them miscarrying, all the fights with the paparazzi. It also shows the real stuff, like Tommy Lee when he was arrested for domestic violence and what that was all about. And then you see Pamela Anderson's life after that and what she did. I mean, remember, this is a woman that has been married, got 4 or 5 times. She's actually married to a gentleman at the beginning of the documentary that she had met in Canada. It was her contractor. But she also married Kid Rock, which she says, you know, was pretty much immediately a mistake. She also has an autobiography that got released this week as well, which now I kind of put that on my list at the library for audiobooks because I was like, this is actually really, I want to spend more time with Pamela Anderson. So she married Kid Rock, admitted that was a mistake. But it was one of those things where it's like, I remember even that Kid Rock thing and like, ooh, Pam, what are you doing? And it was interesting to hear her talk about it. I always have to challenge myself now, and especially as I get further and further into talking about this stuff so much. I grew up loving all of this stuff, but now talking about it on a daily basis, consuming so much media, more media than I've ever consumed in my life. It's different when you hear somebody else talk about their own story than your opinions of it without hearing them speak about it. So I was very judgmental of the Kid Rock thing, but then you watch this and you're like, this is somebody that was chasing something, you know, chasing love. This was somebody that was like trying to fill up that hole. And she kind of even admits in the documentary, which is this really sad moment, that really, truly, she's never been in love since Tommy Lee. Like that was it. But she also refused to be in a relationship with somebody that ever physically abused her. So she was out. Like, and this is interesting because we always, I mean, let's just even use Robin from Real Housewives of Potomac and all the bullshit she's pulled for this season. You know, this is somebody, you know, there's a lot of different theories. I mean, maybe they have an arrangement. Our friend Aliza Kelly, Aliza Rosen, who's been on the show a bunch of times, she had just messaged me or tweeted at me saying that she had a theory that Juan was actually in a relationship already and that Robin was probably well aware of that. And there's an arrangement that they're just married for money and bills and how, you know, like, but she, you know, that potentially she knew about that and is okay with it, but it was like, just don't embarrass me. And she also was highly embarrassed maybe to be honest about that on camera. But honestly, in the Robin stuff, and I'll get back to Pamela in a second, that's not our problem as an audience. Like, don't do the show then if you can't be honest. And I think that is my problem with all of these shows. And that's why probably I responded so favorably to the Pamela Anderson documentary, because this is somebody that was actually being real. This is somebody telling the truth, warts and all, about their real life. And that takes a lot of balls. And of course, Pamela is doing this in retrospect, even though she's still wildly young, by all means. But it's frustrating because you're like, you're on a reality show, and one of the biggest things in your life, something that you were even confronted about by Karen Huger, you just make everybody look stupid and don't admit it until afterwards. And then you drop it on a Patreon. So you're trying to make money out of your embarrassment and misery, which I guess get your bag, girl. But it just kind of leaves a bad taste. And what I've been saying all along, and the last month especially, is that Housewives is starting to have a credibility problem. And you might say starting to, LOL, but it's true. I'm not going to continue to waste my time on just people who lie to me. I'll just live my real life for that, you know? Like, what do you, like, I don't want to, like, and I know that might sound silly. I know, like, oh, wow, I really still enjoy these shows. Great. Good for you. I do too, for the most part. But these things make me feel like I'm wasting my time. I will watch a scripted television show if I want something made up or if I want things withheld. Like, it's just, I don't think it's fair, and I don't think it is the thesis statement of any of these shows. It's Real Housewives. If you can't be real and you're just a housewife, I don't care. I don't want to watch your journey. And I don't care if you're making embellished hats. And I don't care. Like, I don't. And then you have the gall or the balls to, like, look down on other people and make fun of them. You only earn making fun of other people when you're actually honest and come from a place of truth in your own life. Right? Then you're untouchable. But right now, Robin will probably get another season, and it's going to be a real painful season, Robin. It's going to be real, real bad. It's going to be real bad. I mean, you think Karen gloats now. Wait. And Jizzy, old Giselle, just pack it in. Giselle is literally one, like, it just, it's one of those bears, or what am I thinking of? It's like a dog with no bite. What am I thinking of? It just... She's a big old pussycat. She wouldn't, like, listen. If you really confronted Giselle in a real way, she would run the other way. She is all bark, no bite. That's it. All bark, no bite. That's it. But I just think it's like, ugh. And Robin, when you do that shit, you make Giselle look bad. And Giselle already was doing a pretty good job of that on her own. I learned that line from you, Giselle. No, I'm sorry. Garcelle. I learned that line from you, Garcelle, from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Giselle and Garcelle, I've tripped up on those names. I've interchanged them so much. But also, Giselle, though, I mean, I want to point out to like still two seasons ago. Remember when she got back supposedly with Jamal and it was all this weird stuff. And then at the reunion, they had broken up. We still didn't get any honesty from that. So to me, Giselle and Robin, for reasonably shady, it's just reasonably dishonest. Eventually, people will get sick of that. And listen, some people won't. Some people are just fans of anything. Some people are just happy to see you. And, you know, oh, that's a funny line that you made fun of another lady for. But think about it. You know, I think we really, when these things are earned, when fandoms are earned, is when somebody shares something really painful in their lives and then moves forward. We see them move forward. We see a redemption arc. We see that. By the way, I think Candace right now is experiencing a great redemption arc. You know, I mean, listen, she is working so hard at this music that I'm thinking like it's starting to seem like things are happening, like little things here and there. And it really, that kind of shit I love because it shows you that hard work pays off. Like, I got to say, like, I'm really, really digging Candace lately. Oh, man. Oh, anyways, I'll tell you that at another time. So back to the Pamela Anderson thing. Let's reverse. I just thought it was this really, I didn't realize what a very interesting love story, but a love story nonetheless that her and Tommy Lee had. And it looked like she was an amazing mother. It looked, I was really kind of, it wasn't like I had ever had a bad opinion about Pamela Anderson, but I had an appreciation, but this, I just love people's stories. I really do. And this story is so interesting because, and I was thinking about this towards the end because there was a lot of loneliness. It was a theme that kept getting brought up. And I thought, wow, this is very close. Besides the death part, there's a lot of Marilyn Monroe in here. And if you think about that, minus the death, Pamela Anderson in some ways is the digital version of Marilyn Monroe, of somebody that was just, you know, all we did was talk about her boobs and her nude and all of these things and the guys in her life and all of this stuff. But her image was splashed everywhere and she was there at the invention of the internet. I mean, hers was, for all intents and purposes, the first celebrity sex tape, which he actually makes a point of without saying names, that later on, you know, people then it would become in vogue to, you know, act like these sex tapes were stolen and act, you know, and she was obviously referring to Kim Kardashian, which still cracks me up to this day. Like Kim, I mean, there's nobody like her, but at the same time, it's almost like I would almost kind of akin it to a baseball player getting busted for steroid use. What was that baseball player, Barry Bonds, that broke the home run records, but then it turns out he was using steroids, or Lance Armstrong at the Tour de France. Look at me doing sports things. Wow, look at me being an all sports guy. But with Kim, it'll always be an asterisk to me because it's like and by the way, all's fair in love and war, right? Like that doesn't mean it's not valid, but it does mean she still used that to catapult and it worked. But there's always going to be that asterisk. It's always going to be this little thing. And I don't mean that as a slam. And I don't, people get so butthurt about those things, but you also have to just admit when things, yeah, like it's kind of true. What she's chosen to do with it is really truly the real story, because man, she has made, and her mom has made every right move for her since. I just am still blown away. So the Pamela Anderson thing, I just think is really worth your time. And I finally understood. And I had read all these articles when the Pam and Tommy series on Hulu came out that she said it was like her getting sexually assaulted again. And I was kind of realizing, I was like, well, that's, I don't understand. I mean, I understood it, but I didn't understand it. And then watching this documentary, I completely understood it. I completely understood how this was another violation. I mean, the thing was in a safe in their house. The whole safe got stolen if you didn't watch the Pam and Tommy Lee series. And it was traumatizing to her. And she had to go to court. And then she miscarried her baby when all of this stuff was, and she was pregnant with another baby and tried to sue to get these rights back. And and it finally was too much. She was worried about miscarrying again and she dropped everything. She at one point was offered $5 million cash to sign the rights and they refused, her and Tommy Lee refused to do it. And then they just went ahead and did it anyways. And It's just brutal, right? Like, that's just brutal when you listen to her talk about it. And I got to say, it is one of the, it's not, she, the reason I think responded to it too much, it was that she wasn't, it wasn't performative. It was just Pamela being Pamela, which is, she's kind of goofy, kind of quirky, but she wasn't doing things and be like, you know, look at me in the eyes, camera. She was just telling this story and you really saw the hurt. And so now I'm like, damn, I can't believe I watched that series and kind of, and by the way, if you listen to So Bad It's Good, I talked about it. I said, you know, it's good. It's really good. I don't think it hits the heights that, you know, that it could have, like stuff like The Dropout, Hulu's The Dropout did, but I thought like, okay, it's okay. But now I'm kind of like disgusted that I watched. I'm like, man, I shouldn't have watched that thing. Because it really, you could see how it would violate somebody all over again. Think about the worst moment in your life and then think about that all of a sudden being turned into a TV series that you don't own or get money from. But also think about the most traumatic part of your life being turned into a comedic series. You know, that they play it for laughs. And that has got to be humiliating on a whole other level of something that you were already traumatized by. So you guys, if you can't tell, I thought it was great. I'm excited to hear what you guys think. I hope you like it as much as I did. I thought that was really, really interesting. I remember I did meet Pamela Anderson once. I used to tell you guys when I would come to LA during college, and it was really young, really young. Oh, just 3 years ago. And I remember I worked for an extras casting company, and I remember one of the shows that I worked on when I came out for vacation one time was VIP, which was an old Pamela Anderson show after Baywatch, after Barbed Wire, I think maybe even after the Tommy Lee, if I'm right. And I worked on it, and I remember I met her, and she was really nice, and all the people on that show were really nice. They shot it in I think in like Van Nuys and like the Valley. It was like really no frills. But my buddy Dirk, who's passed away, was the assistant director on that show. And I just remember like, wow, Pamela Anderson. I wasn't like starstruck or anything, but it was cool. It just seemed like a really nice, fun person. And that was my only Pamela Anderson story, which isn't even that good. Okay, moving on to some other pop culture stories, you guys. Maroon 5, you remember this guy? Mr. Adam Levine? Well, him and his wife that who he loves very much, Bahati Prizlu, I believe her name is, they welcomed their third child this week. Now, if you listen to this show and you remember, you know, just, God, what was it, 4 or 5 months ago? Adam Levine, her name was Sumner. She did a TikTok where she pretty much name checked Adam Levine saying, I was dating this guy, he had a wife. And he messaged me out of the blue and said, hey, you know, do you mind if we name our child your name? Because Sumner's an amazing name. And I was like, it's so sad because they finally had the baby. It's a healthy baby. But you can tell in all the press releases, they have not released the baby's name yet because it's like, this was such a thing that you could tell they're holding the name back just because of because of the internet, but also because of you, Adam. Just let's be honest, because of you, because you love to mix it up in ladies' DMs. My favorite thing about the Sumner DMs that she released and all that, and all the other women that have released their Adam Levine stuff, was that he would always make a point of like, we're both so hot. We're so hot. It would never be you're so hot. It would be we're both really attractive. He would always make sure that he like I'm. Hey, by the way, I'm attractive too. You know that, right? We're good. We're both equally attractive. It's got to be wild. Hey, listen, I don't know. I mean, maybe they have an arrangement as well. You know, she was photographed with him the week after this, and they're all smiley at the beach. I guess whatever floats your boat. I'm just more worried for the other women out there. It just also seems just grody, you know, grody. But I don't know. Maybe if I was as hot as Adam Levine, I would be doing the same thing. Who knows? But congratulations to Adam and Bahati. let's see. What else do we got here? Oh, this Harry Styles. You guys hear this guy? This guy from One Direction? He has a couple solo albums now. He sells out tours, shows everywhere, was dating Olivia Wilde. They split up, which, by the way, did you see Olivia Wilde and Jason Sudeikis hugging the other day? Hugging? Finally, these guys are being cordial to each other. That's what we like to see. I wonder if he only hugged her after her and Harry broke up. Anyways, this guy was at the Forum last week, and he, you know, comes on stage and these Gucci brown leather pants, and he ripped his pants, you guys. He ripped his pants. Now, before you get all hot and bothered, I believe he was wearing, like, he wasn't freeballing, which would just, but my thing is, like, I'm trying to say this in a gentle way, like, I've never prayed so hard for somebody to not be freeballing, but also to have one of the smallest wieners known to man. You know, like I would, I mean, I think us geeks out here, us dude geeks, I think we needed it. We needed one for our team where he splits his Gucci leather pants, which also Gucci, what kind of shit are you making? Like, he splits his pants and then the world has to see that he's got a small Taja, a small wiener. That, I would pray for Harry Styles to have a small wiener. No offense to you, Harry. Love your music, but I want you to have a small wiener. It would make me feel so good. Like, I was thinking about other rock and rollers that have, I called him a rock and roller, that have split their pants. Did you ever see the Lenny Kravitz one where he was like, eh, and he was like, he split his black leather, and you saw a little Lenny? And Lenny actually seems like he's decently endowed, but he's like, his face is so funny in the photos. Just look up Lenny Kravitz, you know, crotch. Guys, open your Google right now and put in Lenny Kravitz crotch. You're gonna, I don't know if you're gonna thank me. The other thing is, it's like, dude, you split your pants. I've read all these girls comment of like, oh my God, I would die. Oh my God, that's heaven. And it's like, oh yeah, but when I split my pants, I'm gross and I eat too much. Like, listen, I've split a couple pants in my day, and I've never gotten that kind of adulation, any kind of comments, except for like, sir, what are you doing here? So anyways, I think one of these celebrities, they've got to have a small wiener. Like, I want, like, justice for us normies. Dr. Phil has announced that he is stopping the Dr. Phil show after 21 years. Dr. Phil, I'm Dr. Phil, I'm a doctor. 21 years, Dr. Phil. So, it looks like he will be leaving air. This guy must just be loaded. I mean, at a certain point, I'm glad when people decide to retire, because it's like, how much money do you need? He's going to end after 21 seasons as seismic changes in syndicated daytime talk show market continue. So I don't think he was forced out, but it looks like ratings were down. He'd received a 5-season renewal in 2018 as a part of a deal with CBS Media Adventures that takes it through the current season. But yeah, there's been so many changes in the daytime shows. Ellen DeGeneres left. Wendy Williams had a lot of issues. Maury, Dr. Oz, as well as The Real, all ended within the past 12 months. So CBS will offer stations library episodes of Dr. Phil for the 2023-24 season and beyond. They will include new content such as wraparounds, which is kind of what I do in between the interviews. We call them wraparounds, and intros by Dr. Phil, as well as guest updates. But for all intents and purposes, the show is kind of done. And so he says, I have been blessed with over 25 wonderful years in daytime television. With this show, we have helped thousands of guests and millions of viewers through everything from addiction and marriage to mental wellness and raising children. This has been an incredible chapter of my life and career. But while I'm moving on from daytime, there is so much more I wish to do. What do you wish to do? I want to get into football. You remember Dr. Phil came to our screens through Miss Oprah Winfrey. So this will be interesting to see what his next plans, if any, if he has any. I will always remember Dr. Phil for the "Catch Me Outside." How about that? "Catch Me Outside." How about that? Her name was Bad Barbie, and now she has an OnlyFans, you guys, and it makes millions of dollars a year. And that Bad Barbie, "Catch Me Outside." How about that? You guys know what I'm talking about. The little girl that had an issue with her mom. Well, she turned into a rapper and an OnlyFans. She's making more money than any of us could ever possibly imagine. So, Dr. Phil, you did it, buddy. You did it. All right. Tomorrow, you guys, prep your wallets. We're just fucked. I mean, between Taylor Swift, Beyonce is announcing concert dates tomorrow. And I think I just am not going to be able to cut it. I'm not going to be able to afford it. I couldn't get Taylor Swift tickets. I love Beyonce so much, but I just can already feel that the demand is going to be insane. And I don't think I'm going to be able to do this one. And it kills me. But Beyonce should be announcing her tour dates tomorrow, so we'll talk a little bit more about that on Thursday. Remember, on Thursday, I'm going to do the Salt Lake Part 2 recap on Thursday, so you can get it the next day. Let's see what else we've got. Oh, this is also another interesting. I love talking about streaming services. Paramount Plus, they are now finally officially combining with Showtime. It's going to be Paramount Plus with Showtime, I think, is going to be the new title of the new network when they combine forces. Now, this should have been expected, but I like this. I like that some of these streaming services, remember, HBO Max combined with Discovery Plus recently, so now they're going to be one entity. I mean, eventually we're just going to go back to having cable again, you know, like, because it became like we're paying for so many different streaming services. I want them to team up. I need them to team up, you know? Okay, and then just to finish up my Robin thoughts is, let's see, I'm going to play you a little audio of some of the stuff Robin said on her podcast about the situation. Now, if you're like, what are you talking about, Ryan? Where have you been? Robin Dixon admitted that, one, there was a situation with a blonde-haired woman. There was some credit card, you know, this woman had made a TikTok, also Karen, but she waited until after the season, after the reunion, to actually come clean about any of this. Now, you could think, well, it's a really painful thing, of course, but like I said, you shouldn't be on a reality television then. You shouldn't. Here we go. Listen to this, you guys.
Idiot. And communicated with this woman on Instagram, you know, because I mean, I, you know, whatever, he's bored. He needs attention. He's, you know, it's the pandemic, blah, 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 whatever.
Right.
However, they did not date. He did not fly her anywhere.
Right.
And there is a reason why his name is on a hotel.
Listen. Even that is, you can just tell it's peppered with untruths, or maybe it's Robin's truth, but it's not the truth. And that is just such a bummer. And you kind of, like I said, you lose credibility. Also, Fancy CPA, I believe, somebody sent me this. This was on Reddit, and it was their Patreon episode that she put this behind a paywall. This is some of the facts that came out of this. The lady lives in Canada. It was late 2020. She DM'd Juan about liking Giselle and Robin on the show, and Juan entertained the conversation because he likes attention, Robin said. Oh my God. This lady said she liked Robin, and then Juan was like, me too. What's up? These guys. I love Robin said in that clip too, like, he was bored. It was the pandemic. Girl, I was bored too. I just decided to gain 40 pounds. Like, that was like, why couldn't Juan have done that? Like, I love that he's bored. Also, Tommy Lee, that's how they got into the domestic dispute in the documentary. You find out because he's like, you know, she was loving the baby and she was loving the other baby. Where's Tommy's love? It's like, us men are so damn fragile. I mean, you think women are emotional, or you always hear women like, oh, they're too emotional. Dude, come down to my men's group. I don't have a men's group, but you know what I'm saying? Like, we're emotional creatures. We just cover it up with this kind of brutality, and we have more hair like all over our bodies. So you think like, oh, that guy's tough. And like, we're the biggest pussies out there. Continuing, allegedly the lady used to date an athlete in the DMV. Once travel restrictions were lifted, she messaged Juan and told him she was traveling to the DMV. He thought she was just visiting her old boo. She came to town a few days later. She reached out to Juan about losing her wallet and if he could pay her hotel. He went there and put his credit card down and walked away. Okay, Robin, that sounds real. Oh, I'm going to come down, put my credit card down, and walk away. Walk, like, why? Because it would raise suspicion. You know what would raise suspicion? Juan's card being on somebody's... Fuck. I mean, listen, guys can't even lie. I'm good. Lady later messaged him about why he didn't stay with her, blah, blah, blah. Then she started asking for money to get her hair done. It doesn't sound like he gave her any more money. Well, Robin, I think we should do a little bit of, like, it's what I always want to, like, everybody on these shows are like, wants receipts. Let's get some receipts. Late 2021, lady emailed Robin the receipts with her tea. She didn't entertain it and just said, thank you. Can you imagine that? Thank you. Late 2021, lady also DM'd Giselle, and she called Robin right away, but Robin and Juan had already worked through it. Robin was mad at Juan for entertaining the lady because the lady eventually sold the tea to the blogs. It's something that they had to work through, and it was part of the reasons the wedding took a while. This stuff just, Man, whatever your truth is, I guess it's just weird that you're not telling any of this on the show. And I just think that's the part that really kind of chaps my ass, because it's not only the fans, but think about all the people you work with. Think about all the other people you depend on another season to have this show. And that's part of the trade-off of being on this show, and the little bit of fame or your embellished hat line that actually makes you money, that saved you from financial ruin, comes from this show. And you know you have to participate in it. And I just, if you don't want to, if you're going to edit and all of this, it's my problem with Heather Gay too, then I don't think you should be on the show. And it kind of then just, you know, I keep saying that these reality show audiences are kind of sophisticated. We're not kind of, we are. And we don't love to be lied to. So I think, you know, you then kind of lose a lot of loyalty of the fans, let alone, I think, all the people that work with you. Because you're kind of throwing them under the bus as well. And I think it's a weird situation. And I don't know. It's hard, man. I was just talking to Meditza earlier, just online. I'm, you know, I see so much. I see so many people just telling half-truths online in regards to, like, rumors. I mean, there's whole Twitter accounts just dedicated to making up bullshit. And then people don't know it's bullshit, and they pass it around. And, like, they're like, well, I'm trying to be funny. And I'm like, okay, yeah, but you got to at some place in there say that it's not real, because a lot of people don't realize you're trying to be funny. And then it just kind of just gets warped, and it's like this weird game of telephone. Like, and then people still think Real Housewives of New York Legacy is never going to happen, because these articles keep coming out and they keep getting passed around, even though it said, guys, it's not going to happen on the time frame they initially wanted to. But believe me, it's going to happen. But I'm still seeing these articles from like 2 days ago getting passed around today as like fact. And it's like, you guys, that's the hard thing, is like, once something is put out there, it's hard to rein it back in. People will always believe usually the first thing, and never kind of stick around to figure out, because, you know, we have busy lives ourselves. Anywho, that's it. I could talk to you guys for hours, and I do that every day. So listen, I want to talk a little bit about our guest and a little bit about MILF Manor, which is the show that I really dig on Sundays on TLC. But like I say in this interview, you can stream it all on Discovery Plus. I think it's great. Like, the concept, like I said, is just wild. You think, wait, is this real? Is this real life? Our guest today, Kelly Mortensen, lets us know it is real life. I think she is really truly one of the people that stands out the most in this show, even though 3 episodes in, it is kind of fun and great to watch the other ladies and see what they're all about and how the ladies are responding to each other, which, by the way, a lot of these ladies seem kind of bothered by Kelly. And she lets us know she's taking it in stride. But I was reading the Washington Post, Emily Yar, who is just one of my favorite entertainment reporters, and I've actually been in a couple of her articles, which was just, when you get into the Washington Post, like, that was like my dream, like, holy moly. And to be able to show my parents that. But anyways, Emily wrote this great article on the making of MILF Manor. You guys should check out that article. And also anything that Emily writes, because she's just awesome. I was just talking to my friend who's getting married in October, and there is so much to plan. You gotta do the food, you gotta do the food tasting, you gotta book the venue, talk about the DJ, and then not to mention all of the emotion that goes into this. And then all the while you're like, ooh, what would I do if I had a wedding? I've been a part of a lot of weddings over the years, and it's an incredibly stressful process. You go from this newly engaged bliss to overwhelmed by invitation paper and flower colors in the blink of an eye. So using Zola helps with wedding planning from start to finish, and it makes every decision easier so you can stay in your bliss. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste that delicious cake. Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on your couch. Zola helps couples plan the wedding they really want, with tons of unique features and personalized recommendations based on a couple's preferences. Every Zola wedding is as unique as the couple planning it. They've thought of everything you'll need and have built every tool to get you to I do, including customized checklists to get you moving, keep you on track, and prepare you for what's next. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So, the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
But she talks about that, and she talks about the producers of this. And listen, there was such an uproar about the show MILF Manor because it's like, how this is disgusting. It's disgusting. But it's like it's the thing that kind of hooks people of like, what the hell is that about? That seems insane. And believe me, the idea is insane. Eight moms with their eight sons on one island, and they're potentially going to date each other, not the son and mothers, but the other sons and the other mothers. I mean, but at the same time, it gets you in the door, right? You're like, that gets me in the door. And then you watch it and you're like, this is truly insane. There are some moments where, like in the first episode, the moms are blindfolded and they're having to feel up the shirtless sons. You're like, well, they're trying to guess which one their son is. And you're like, is this real life? And it is. But then it balances out where you start to get to hear some of the women's stories. And, you know, your Pola, she, you know, there's all these great characters in this show. And also the sons are hysterical in their own right, too. And you're just like, oh, my God, you guys are so young. But anyways, in the article that Emily wrote, she was speaking to Daniela Newman, the director, whose production company was their idea. And she said, I don't really understand what all the fuss is about. She said, the shows are about female empowerment. Second, she said, everyone on the show had a good time. Third, every man is someone's son, right? That is true. So she says, so I'm not quite sure what the big deal is. No one's doing anything wrong, and they are all consenting adults. I don't really understand it, but I think that anything that provokes conversation is a very positive thing. Also, did you know that MILF, it is mother, I'd like to bleep. And we remember in American Pie with Jennifer Coolidge, remember Stifler's mom? That was Jennifer Coolidge, by the way. We remember her as this amazing character, but I was cracking up because did you guys know that MILF actually the origin of there is an origin of MILF was Mother I Love Forever, which is just that's beautiful. I like that Mother I Love Forever. It sounds so much better than Mother I'd like to. But also with MILF Manor, even the production says they knew what they were doing. TLC knew what they were doing. They knew that title itself could get people in. And it really does. Now, our guest today, Kelly, she's just great. She's her own spirit. She's a disco. She's a disco queen, disco mommy. I just had the best time talking to her. A beautiful woman. And all these women are really extremely beautiful. It is one of those things that I think is just testing the audience at first, but then you kind of get into it. And I got to tell you, I'm really excited to watch the fourth episode, and I will watch the entire season. And I think this is one of those shows that will automatically get a second season. From my understanding, the ratings for this were insane, and it got 3.1 million viewers. Now compare that to Salt Lake City. Salt Lake City got, for the reunion, 600,000 viewers. That is quite a difference. 3.1 to 600,000. Isn't that insane? I mean, it just really blows me away. So TLC, they, you know, listen, they'll make shows about pimples, but they'll make successful shows. But this show, I think, is really, really funny. It is shocking at times, but there is a foundation with these women. I'm really curious to hear what you guys think about this. Even when I said she was coming on, I had a lot of messages going like, wow. So it means you guys are watching. So I am, I'm really excited. I hope you like this. I really liked it, her. I was actually kind of starstruck talking to her. I was like, wow, because I just spent 3 hours watching the show. So guys, without further ado, Kelly Mortensen from the new hit show on TLC, MILF Manor. Here she is.
But today, I am going to introduce you to a show that you need to watch. It is the concept of this show is so unbelievable, but actually it is turning out to be one of the bright spots in my Sunday night viewing schedule. We're only 3 episodes in, so this is perfect for a binge, and then you can continue on for the rest of the season. Now, go with me here, folks. If you watch the show 30 Rock, there was a little sketch they did in one of the episodes where they did MILF Island, and it was a bunch of beautiful older women, and they were paired up with very young men, and it was really funny. Now, 15 years later, this show is kind of out there now. It is called MILF Manor. It is on Sunday nights on TLC. You can stream this on Discovery Plus, but we have one of the breakout stars, I think really the breakout star of this show. You might know her as the disco mommy. You might know her as an OC queen. You know her now as Kelly Mortensen from MILF Manor. Kelly, how the heck are you?
Hello. Thank you for having Disco Mommy and Kelly on the show. We're so glad to be here.
Kelly, I am starstruck, really. I mean, I've been watching this now. I watched all the episodes again yesterday, and I can't believe I actually get to see you in person. Now, I left out the fact that it's not only that you guys are dating and pairing up with younger men, it's that your sons are there as well. So your son, Joey, is there with you, and he is kind of dating and flirting with the other women in MILF Manor. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. And in fact, the women were so stunned because he is the youngest on the show, where he has to put himself out there really and kind of, I don't want to say chase them, but go after them and be aggressive as the youngest guy on the show. They were so scared of him, especially.
Well, he's only 20. He's 20, yeah. And he's like, you guys, he's like, he looks like the most innocent kid. Like, he has these curls, and he's kind of like, I mean, what was it like? I want to get into all of you, but what was it like, even if you could remove yourself from actually dating the men on the show as well, to watch your son date these men and like to watch it back on TV? Do you think your son has good game, as they like to say?
Well, Joey and dating the women, they were very apprehensive to kind of hang out with him. I think they were so scared about the stigma of it. But Joey, honestly, is probably one of the most mature men on the show.
It kind of is turning out to be that way. And he kind of shocks me because he does have this kind of swagger. It's kind of like a nerdy swagger, but it's a swagger nonetheless. And I mean, did you ever give Joey tips during filming of like, hey, this is how you talk to a woman?
Well, we definitely have some upcoming episodes where I do help him on like a couple of dates. And he actually, you know, is trying to win people over at the same time.
Yeah, no, I really, once you get past the insanity of the premise of the show is actually so entertaining to watch. But I would love to know how you were even approached to be on this show. Like, how did this even happen? How did you find yourself in Mexico at MILF Manor?
So that's the funniest question, because Joey and I were the last ones casted on the show. No joke. So they were... Somebody was in my Instagram DMs. So FYI, check your DMs. You never know who's in there.
Wait, the casting director slid into your DMs? That's
yes. Yeah. Yes. The assistant. And I thought it was a joke. And he's like, are you interested in dating younger guys? I'm like, yeah, of course. Why wouldn't I be? And he said, well, would your son come with you so he can help? The premise for him and I, or what we were told was going to happen, was Joey was going to like be intel for me and kind of have a say on like, oh, this is a good guy. He'd be good for you, or he wouldn't be good for you. He wasn't aware that he'd be dating other women.
So he went even with the knowledge that he just thought he was there to help you. He didn't know he was going to Wow. That, and so when you found out, there is a great moment in the first episode where all the women find out and the shock on their face. I mean, it's really great. You actually seem to be the one that was like, yeah, let's go. You really were the trooper where you were pushing the story forward. You're like, I have no problem with this. Let's go. Did you secretly have any kind of issue with this of like, this is going to be way less fun watching? And by the way, you guys are in the same room as well.
Yes. And let's talk about us in the same room. And this is the part that I don't understand why people are so concerned or weird about. I have 6 kids and every time I've gone on a vacation with them, we all stay in the same hotel room. And I'm sure every other American family does too. I don't know anyone that puts their kids 3 rooms down at a hotel when they're on a vacation.
Well, Kelly, I think the issue is that people were like, oh no, is the mom going to make out in front of her son with a guy? Because, you know, you might invite a guy back up to the room. I think that was the secret fear. Or Joey might invite a girl back up to the room, which, by the way, in the preview next week, you guys need to watch episode 4 coming out next week. It looks like there you guys might be in the same room. I saw it in the preview. You were like, I don't know. It seems wild.
Well, Joey and I are never in the same room with a significant other. There's nothing crazy, romantically weirdness going on. I would never do that to my kids. And more respectfully, they would never do to me either. But as far as that's concerned, that I loved that aspect of the show because, you know, when kids get in high school, they kind of separate from their parents and they kind of do their own thing. And it was so cool to be able to have like, you know, talking about other people on the show or talking about like, who do you like? Oh, I like him or I like her. You know what I mean? Going back and forth. Yeah. Oh, what do you like about them? So if they do a lot of like scenes of us in our room, we make fun of people. I mean, we talk shit. We do all sorts of stuff.
Did you end up having a blast like with your son?
Did I have what?
Did you have a blast with your son? I mean, was this kind of a bonding experience?
We had so much fun and the best bonding, and Joey is so funny. I don't know how much they're going to show. So you can see kind of in our interviews, we talk a lot of shit. I mean, we just do, but we have a lot of family banter and we like always trying to like shock the other person. That's just how I raise my kids. And so some of the things we talk about, like the last episode, you know, a lot of people made fun that he nursed when he was a baby. I mean,
That's ridiculous.
Weird things. So I had to come right back at him.
I reached out to my mom and I said, Mom, I'm watching this show right now. And it's about, you know, mom and like they're all dating. And she goes, bring it on. Let's do this. She was like, let me get on season 2. I loved it. I wanted to let the people know. And I kind of was curious. I can't believe that you have 6 kids. First off. I mean, you look insanely young, like you're insanely in shape. I don't even know what is your background? Like you're a disco mommy. You love house music. What's your background? How did you get to this point?
Okay. So I love that. My oldest daughter is 26. She moved to Dubai like 8 months ago. And so when she graduated from college, which she graduated in 3 years, so I also have very intelligent kids, she, I found out when she was like 21, 22, that when she got ready one day to go to, I don't know, like winter formal, and she went to her first rave and I had no clue. I know, right? I was in shock. I found out years later. So I'm like, you know what? I want to know what's going on in my kids' life. I don't want to find out 5 or 6 years down the road. I want to have conversations with them. So her disco tribe decided to name me Disco Mommy because I love house music too. So it just kind of became a thing. And I tried to change the name like 4 years ago and all my friends got so mad at me. So I
What did you try to change the name to? Like Disco Friend?
No, like Kelly Mortensen.
Oh. your actual name. Okay, that makes sense. I think Disco Mommy actually is a really solid name. The second episode, you guys, there's this moment, and I'm not going to really spoil like who is what, but there's a wall of secrets, and it is where everybody has to guess, you know, if it's their son or mother. There are certain things like I got pink eye from eating part of a body. I slept with my son's best friend. I had a 7-woman orgy. And then everybody, the moms and the sons, have to guess. Was that one of the craziest experiences to sit there and watch, not even you and your son, but to watch everybody else figure out what their mom has done and what their sons have done?
I honestly, even as a disco momming and seeing all sorts of weird things happening at different raves and whatever, or not even raves, but festivals. And I was shocked that one, it was on the board, and two, that someone would even actually admit that, knowing that you're on a TV show that's worldwide. I mean, this isn't like, and then you're just going to like blast.
You guys are a hit. You're a hit.
Like
the show is a hit. Like 3.1 million viewers watched this show so far. That's insane.
It's
so
hilarious. They are admitting,
it really is. But like, was it wild to watch the sons react after the fact of like, oh my God, my mom did that?
Well, and people think this is like our first night of being together. This was not filmed our first night of being together. We'd been together a few days. So yeah, we'd already kind of gotten to know each other, but not at that level. So it was kind of funny in knowing the people's personalities. You know, it was crazy at first, but some of them we definitely pegged, like Jimmy's. We definitely knew what his was, and I won't spoil it for people, but
guys, it's a big one. It's a big, okay.
But so, his mom surprised us. We were all like shocked.
Guys, that's why it's like, it's really enjoyable. Like, I'll sit there and just be like, oh my God. But at the same time, it's not like, I mean, the concept sounds insane, but these end up being real people. They do have real moments. It's not completely off the wall. You do talk about dating younger men in the beginning in your interview package. Do you prefer to date younger men? And as you've gotten older, do you prefer that? And why do you, if you do?
So living in Orange County, it's really difficult to date somebody actually my age, because all these men, I shouldn't say all of them, the majority are dating 20 and 30 year old women. So that's, you know, you're just kind of like, well, what's left over?
That's great.
And I don't really date, to be honest, I don't really date a lot. And I didn't beforehand. I didn't really date a lot. I just kind of do my own thing.
Yeah. You also say that, you know, you can teach a younger man things. Like, you are, what do you think that you can teach a younger man?
I don't think I can say that on the radio.
That's great. No, you're right. You're right. You probably, yeah, I got it. Probably some kind of math or something like that. You know, I guess, and you can't spoil this, but were you open, and I know this might sound, were you open for the possibility of love on this show? Was that even a thought in your mind, or, you know, did that even occur to you at all?
So the reason why I went on the show is I, you know, was looking for love. I've been single for 6 years, and the opportunity came, and I thought, you know, this is amazing. How great. And then my son could actually meet this guy and see if he likes him or not. That's a win. And then, you know, yeah.
Have you heard from people that you've been romantically involved with in the past? Have they watched this show and reached out to you?
Yes. They're like, wait, were you talking about me? And I'm like, which part?
I mean, I would imagine like, they're kind of like, wow, that's Kelly. That's my disco mommy.
These guys are in the UK and they're finding out. Yeah, I date international, FYI.
wait, so you exclusively date international younger men? Or is
I
that,
have.
I mean, I love, okay. So you were open to the possibility of love. Is there one thing, without spoiling anything, that you learned in this whole experience?
So one of the main things I learned was to be that vulnerability is not a sign of weakness, but a sign of strength. I say that in all my interviews, because when you're in that close proximity with all those people and their moms, and you could see how much the moms were judging me from day one.
Like, oh,
big time.
I don't talk
mean about people. That's just like, I'm very positive. I want to give positive vibes and, you know, empower women. That's really what I'm about. So, kind of lost my train of thought there.
I mean,
I'm talking. You were just kind of lost. And honestly, I was shocked at some of the things they said, because I'm watching this real time with everybody else, and I was like, "Ew, that was not nice."
Yeah, no, I mean, you had the one dust up in one of the episodes, but I was so impressed the next morning you immediately came and, you know, said, hey, I don't want to fight with anybody. I don't want to. And then you immediately popped a bottle of champagne. So it was good, too. But
let's go day two or whatever day it was.
I mean, so did you learn anything from the younger men? Was it interesting to see the world from their eyes through this show?
So that's where I was going. So the vulnerability, it's sorry, I lost you for a second there. In the show, it makes you approach people in a certain light. So if something is weird, like you're living in the same house, you have to address the situation. So you have to be very vulnerable and you have to tell people how you're feeling. And there's some upcoming things where people have to be very vulnerable and it's going to be fun and exciting to watch back. And you have to express like how you're feeling about that person. There's real relationships being formed on the show.
No, there truly are. And that's why I think you can't write this show off. You can't just say it's like this silly, a silly concept because people are actually sharing real things. I mean, Charlene had just had one of her daughters pass away. I mean, these people, like, they're dealing with heartache. They're dealing with wanting to find love. And I thought that really interesting. But I loved you especially because you seemed like you really came in with kind of an open mind and ready to kind of jump in feet first or head first or whatever. In fact, some of the other ladies, you can kind of tell how bothered they are at times. It took them a while. It seems like it takes them a while to warm up where you were all systems go immediately.
I definitely was. I didn't hold back.
You say you're from Orange County. I mean, is there any possibility we can get you on Real Housewives of Orange County? Can we get you on another reality? Would you be willing to do another reality show knowing how this one went?
I would, but I don't know how interesting I'll be because I'm not going to be mean to people on the show. not who I am. I'll listen,
that's great.
But I'll be like, it's funny because some of the women on this show goes, they were like saying, oh, there's your competition. I'm like, no one on this show is my competition. I only compete with myself. So
that's the way
I look at life. And that's why I was never mean to people on there or rude.
No, you have not been since. And I'm really curious to see the remainder of the episodes. Do you have a good, strong group of female friends in your life? And have they watched the show and given you feedback so far?
I definitely do. And they're all amazing women. We all are entrepreneurs. We do, you know, from all different aspects of business. I'm a real estate broker and I do lending and I'm into fitness and into motivational speaking. So we definitely empower one another. And they said, damn, that's Kelly. That's just authentically who I am.
I mean, like,
there's no act. I'm sorry. I'm not for everybody, but that's okay.
Well, I mean, that's what I want to see you go out with your girlfriends. Like, and also, are you getting noticed yet? Like, has anybody noticed you out there in the wild now?
Yes, I was out in Orange County last Friday night. I don't normally go out. I like to stay in and stay present and whatever. Yeah. But I definitely got noticed from some guy from Northern California and he wanted to take a selfie with his wife. And then other people were saying stuff. And then other people were, wait, what is this? What show? Is she really on a show? And so it kind of just, the buzz was out.
As we start winding down here, does it blow you away though, to be part of this larger conversation? I mean, the Washington Post brought you up in an article, I mean, about the show, and you really do seem to be kind of this character or this you as a person, kind of really the, like I said, the breakout star. Is that wild to you? Do you like that?
No, I think I manifested it, honestly.
You talk about manifestation and all that. Has that always been a big part of your life?
No, it hasn't. It's been a part of my life probably in the last 5 or 6 years. And I really firmly believe what you think on, so you become, good and bad. Because I've manifested bad things before I knew that's actually what I was doing. But the more you know, they say if you spend more than 17 seconds on a negative thought, then your brain just kind of goes really, really dark. So you have to be able to take hold of those thoughts very quickly and make sure you think of something positive. Even if it's just the sun is out, there's birds flying, I love the sound of birds, like crazy things like that, but just to re-trigger your brain off of whatever it's spinning out.
That's so hard to do, to retrain your brain, because we always tend to go negative, and especially these days, it feels like.
And that's why I don't read the paper or watch the news.
That's good. That's great. That's really, really great. Who was the closest? Did you make any friendships in the house? I mean, are you friendly with any of the ladies, or who did you become close with?
Yeah, I'm friends with all of them.
Oh, that's awesome.
I don't really talk to Charlene. I don't talk to So Young.
Yeah, you guys, there's a woman named So Young in this and her son, and they have some wild. And listen, if you've been watching it, I hinted that you were coming on, and I didn't realize how popular this show is already, because I was getting messages like, oh my God, please tell me it's Kelly. Please tell me Kelly's coming on. In this last episode at the end, you start becoming close to Billy. And we're going to see, I believe, on the next episode where this relationship goes. And then also, do we potentially see your son continuing to get close to? I know he has an interest in April so far. Do we get to see him get closer with women in the show?
He definitely gets closer to women. And the funny thing about me getting closer with Billy, I tried to date, this sounds good and bad, as many people that I thought I would connect with on the show, because they have different personalities and they brought something different into like my experience. Right. But the moms were like almost trying to like overbear and shut it down. So you have to watch and see how they behave. And it's like, you brought your son on a dating show, FYI. I'm not sure why you're hovering over him. Can you go somewhere?
Was it shocking to you to watch the first three episodes back and then hear some of what the other women are saying about you?
They were texting me, apologizing and calling me left and right, saying, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean that. So I'm like, group text to everyone. Stop apologizing. I don't care what you think. Next subject.
and finally, this show is so funny and you are so funny in it. But, you know, immediately in the first episode, you say, I don't want my son here. He's C blocking me, which is, you guys, I'm not going to say this out loud, but I loved the frankness of that. And I usually love that kind of verbiage comes from a man. And I love that you threw that out there immediately. Anybody slid into your DMs wanting to date you since they've been watching the show? I have to imagine that there probably has been a few.
I've actually have quite a few in my DMs, and I tell people I do read all of them, good and bad. I don't reply to all of them. I don't have time for that. But I do have Cameo now, and so a lot of people are hitting me up on Cameo.
Okay, that's great. This is on Valentine's Day.
It's a perfect Cameo today, so they can actually video. They can actually have a conversation like we're having right now if they want to on Cameo.
I love that. That, by the way, and you guys, that's the perfect Valentine's gift for a loved one, is a cameo from Kelly. How many more episodes of MILF Manor do we have?
Ooh, I think there's nine total.
So we've got six more weeks of this. It is so well worth your time. Like I said, this is a bingeable show, even though I love watching it. I've been watching it from the beginning week to week, and I went back and watched all of them, and it really just kind of got better to me. So I can't wait to see where the process goes. And Kelly, I don't think you really can't. I think you're a star. I'm really excited to see where this takes you and where you manifest next, because this. And also tell your son, Joey, I said hi. I think I'm really, really curious about his journey as well. Oh, wait, your other five kids, are they pissed that they didn't get invited to be on the show? Are they horrified?
Might make it on. The show's not over.
Oh, that's a great tease. Okay, so hopefully we'll get to meet some of your other family. I cannot wait to hear their reactions as well. Kelly Mortensen, the show MILF Manor, Sundays on TLC, but you can stream the whole thing at Discovery Plus. I really thank you for your time today, Kelly.
Thank you, Ryan. You're amazing.
Betches.